Our first category here tonight is Best U.S. President, and we have many nominees that have been submitted by our dignitaries here. I'll give you mine first here, and I don't expect that I'm going to win. I went a little bit off the board here, as some might say, and I have, we've got this, oh, it's beautiful, we got this on camera here, a picture, this is from my home office, I actually brought this in here, it's a picture that I have there of Silent Cal himself, Calvin Coolidge, President of the United States from 1923 to 1929. He gets my vote for the greatest U.S. president. There we go. Paul Belfi zooming in so tight you can see the pores on Silent Cal's face. you can tell, can you not, Paul?
You can see the hairs coming out of his nose. his faux mustache.
Yes. Is it evident, Paul, that he was a president from before the television age? Yeah. There are no hints of John F. Kennedy here type charisma to Silent Cal. But you know what? I feel like, in all honesty, he was probably the last president we had who really understands the Constitution, tried to govern by it the way that it was written instead of projecting stuff that he wanted onto there that should have been in there. He understands, I think, the 10th Amendment better than anybody else. He understood that power is not given to the federal government or reserved back to the states. So I went a little bit off the board on this one here. Paul went for what was clearly more of a mainstream choice here, Paul. And not to give too much of a spoiler here, but it looks like your pick's going to win.
Yeah, I hold on. I got to turn your archive off here.
Okay.
I'm listening to the I'd Hit That Draft again because I can never get enough of me winning.
Yes.
I originally was going to vote for the one and only Mr. Integrity himself, William Jefferson Clinton. But upon further review, I got to give it to the man, Ronald Reagan, because the good times in this country, what few that I can remember, didn't actually start with Bill Clinton. I think Bill Clinton was a beneficiary of the foundation that was laid by Ronald Reagan in his first term, and then Ronnie himself was enjoying the fruits of his labors, as were the United States citizens in his second term. And I think that carried on well through Bill Clinton's term. I don't think it's fair to say that Bill Clinton did it all on his own. Ronald Reagan laid the foundation for everything.
Yeah, I would agree that he laid the foundation, and I applaud you for that. I think that's the first time in the history of the English language anybody used the words Bill Clinton and laid in a straight context here, not trying to make a cheap joke. So congratulations. Yes. The other votes here that we have from the dignitaries, again, not too much of a spoiler to say that Paul is going to win on this one. I'm going to run down these in order.
I would be remiss if I were not to mention that hiccup in that good thing by George W. Bush's father, who almost ruined everything for this country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what is this, a supermarket scanner? Wow. See? I could pull some good George H.W. Bush hate out of my ass here. The picks from the other dignitaries, Jason Jones, my partner, our senior editor, who's to be joining us shortly, he voted for Teddy Roosevelt, and it would not be the only time Teddy Roosevelt would get named on any ballots. Russ Cohen, who, not dating the man too much, but he was actually around for this, said John F. Kennedy. Bob Glassman, good friend of ours, said John Quincy Adams, but I think that was partially because they share the same birthday. I should point out here first and foremost.
Aha!
Yeah, not everybody's casting the ballots in a completely straight manner here, as will become evident, especially when we get to the sports ones here. Nathan Noy agreeing with Paul Belfi on Ronald Reagan, which might be enough to make Paul maybe question his choice. Tony Mazur votes for Ronald Reagan. Samantha Jones casts what is our second vote for John F. Kennedy. Steve, the FDH New York Bureau, votes for Ronald Reagan. My brother, Mike Morris, who I would like to be able to use more of on subsequent shows here, his first step into the lounge here, he votes for Andrew Jackson, who is on my short list as well. That's the only vote he gets, though. Chris Galloway, who can't be here tonight, Chris casts the second vote for Teddy Roosevelt. And my good friend John Adams, one of our dignitaries, votes for George Washington. So ultimately, at the end of this here, four votes Four votes for Ronald Reagan. You find George Washington ludicrous?
How the hell does anybody vote for George Washington when nobody that's voting right now was around when he was the president?
Well, he was the father of our country. Well,
who voted for him?
That's John Adams.
Oh, well, that explains everything.
Well, what's better, the George Washington vote or John Quincy Adams?
Faye.
Yeah, get. So Ronald Reagan is our first inductee, our first enshrinee, and we don't have a Pantheon Award per se, but I do have the Dundee Award from the office. So I will hoist this Dundee Award in honor of Ronald Reagan, and for best U.S. president, I think that deserves the Uncle Sam hat. So we'll go with that for right now here.
That looks like a patriotic condom on top of your head. Unbelievable.
As opposed to patriotic condiments, which are delicious.
Right.
And also come in small packets. Best country other than the U.S. I voted for Canada. Frankly, it's the only one I've been to outside the United States. So, if I'm going to go off a first-hand experience... I think I just made Paul Belfie tap out over there. is that another best of moment, Paul? If you missed the lounge, you missed. But you know what? I enjoy it greatly. It's a fun country to go to. I enjoy Canada a lot. I almost, and as long as we've got the old prop thing here, I almost, in honor of Australia, got my Outback hat here, so... I almost voted for Australia for the best country other than the United States. Ultimately, I voted for Canada at the last moment. I will say that Australia did receive another vote here. Australia did get counted on our list of countries here. Paul Belfie has stepped away from his position for a moment, but I will let you know that my Canada vote did receive some other votes as well. Paul Belfie's vote, likewise, was seconded by another one of the dignitaries here. So neither Belfie nor I ended up casting the only vote for our choices here. For me, it ended up being Canada. And I tell you what, I'm going to run through the other ones here before Belfie sits down. Jason Jones, who is the one guy from the lounge who actually has been to a lot of these places, has lived pretty much worldwide. He ends up voting for the United Kingdom collectively here. So I don't know if he has any preferences specifically between England, Scotland, or Northern Ireland, but he's saying the United Kingdom collectively, so that's his choice. Russ Cohen casts another vote for Canada. Bob Glassman votes for Canada. Nate Noy, the gentleman who voted for Australia. Tony Mazur votes for Canada. Samantha Jones votes for Italy. Steve, the FDH New York Bureau, votes for Canada. My brother, Mike Morris, who has actually been to Shanghai, votes for China. Apparently he was so impressed on the business trip that he went on that he casts his vote for China.
Brother's a communist, eh?
Apparently.
Oh,
Yes. Chris Galloway, this was a unique one. He says, Rome, the republic before the empire. So I didn't say they had to be current countries. So he found the loophole there, and John Adams votes Canada. Essentially, it's Canada in a landslide, but Paul, talk about your choice. And Samantha Jones agreed with you on this one, by the way.
I had to select Italy only because it's the motherland for me. It's where my family was born and raised, and having just come back there from Christmas and New Year's, I forgot how beautiful of a country it is. The food is fantastic. The wine... is ridiculously awesome. The women there are absolutely beautiful. The culture, the heritage, the history. If it's Italy, it's for me.
Okay, well, Italy ends up being our second place country here, as Samantha voted for that. But Canada, voted on by myself, Russ Cohen, Bob Glassman, Tony Mazur, Steve, the New York Bureau, and John Adams. So Canada takes this one in a landslide. So our neighbors to the north end up and being enshrined into the Pantheon. So don't say we never did anything for you down here. A, you have just been elected into the Pantheon.
And never forget, you are still the hat of the United States.
You are America's hat.
We are America's internet broadcast giant. You are America's hat.
This next one here may end up going to a tiebreaker. This next one may end up being very interesting. A very wide open category here. Best motion picture. And the choices ran the gamut, Paul.
Yeah, I think I actually put two movies down there, but I'm going to slash it down to one.
Oh, you are? Okay, well, you had it between As Good As It Gets and Castaway. What are you going
to
vote for?
I'm going to have to pick Castaway. I just thought that movie was absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
I love that movie.
Well, something like this, not surprisingly, we received so many different votes for it. This was not one where we received a lot of votes for the same one. I'm going to talk about my choice here. For this one, for me personally, I voted for, and this is going to be one of the quirkier selections that we see out of the group here. I'm not somebody that has a movie or a couple of movies out there that favorite ones of all time. I mean, I really had to think about this one a little bit here, and it's a little bit of a stretch. And I guarantee you, there's probably nobody else that would put this on top of their list because it wasn't even a real high profile movie. But I really enjoyed the whole nine yards. I thought it was an excellent movie. Matthew Perry and Bruce Willis were in it, and it was just it had some action to it, but it was also it was something that had, you know, strong elements of comedy. Also, I'm somebody who really enjoys the genre of Cosa Nostra literature in the first place. Here, I love reading mob books and stuff, so the mob tie-in was kind of interesting as well. I really enjoyed the whole nine yards. We'll talk about some of these other ones here in a moment. We're going to bring on my good friend Russ Cohen from Sportsology.info here, who has cast some votes. He cast votes in all 16 categories here. Russ, welcome to the program tonight, my friend.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you, my man?
Good. I have to say, I have to out you a little bit and say the only reason you chose this movie it's because of Amanda Peet's boobs. Otherwise, you would never have picked this movie.
You know what? That's a solid reason for it as well, I have to say. That's not a bad reason for it when you're going down the list of pros here. The two categories that were decided before you came on with us here, Russ, we tallied up the votes. Even without my vote, I think everybody would have assumed I would have been one of the affirmative votes here. My vote, as I said previously, went for Calvin Coolidge, not Ronald Reagan, but Ronald Reagan did win. For
Reagan
best
won.
U.S. president. He won that one kind of going away, although there were some votes for John F. Kennedy. There were two votes there. And best country other than the U.S., you and I were part of a landslide there, my friend. Canada wins that one big.
Yeah, I expected that. And, yeah, Kennedy, you know, look, I guess, you know, I didn't even see a lot of them, but, of course, my parents liked him, and he did a lot with the space program. And that's a long time ago, so I could see someone like Reagan. Calvin Coolidge, can you give me a reason why?
I felt as though, and I guess this is where it's going to sound like I should be putting on the tinfoil hat, but I felt like he was the last president who really understood the Constitution and didn't try to, you know, tack stuff onto it that wasn't there. He understood the 10th Amendment about powers not reserved to the federal government going to the states, and I respect his knowledge and his determination to follow the original intent of the Constitution and not to be a sort of extra-constitutional leader like just about everybody we've had since. So, you know, that was I didn't expect a second vote for that one, Russ. Although I have to say, my brother cast one of the votes here, and he cast one for the guy who was probably my runner-up, who was Andrew Jackson. So I had it between those guys.
And he voted that because he likes guys who are impeached, or what was the reason for that?
No, I think Andrew Johnson was.
Johnson.
Impeached.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right.
I think he gets ragged on by the other wax figures there at the Disney Presidential Museum. Aren't you the guy that got impeached? No, that was Andrew Johnson. Damn it.
That's true. Good point.
But Reagan and Canada, the winners so far here, our first two winners. Paul Belfi votes Castaway for Best Motion Picture. I vote the whole nine yards. These are all over the place as far as the different ones here. You've got one that is certainly one of the more classic ones, Russ, that people are going to talk about here tonight.
Yeah, I voted for Spartacus because I watched that one with my dad about 100 times. I mean, there's not many movies you could watch with your dad as a kid especially when your dad's into Westerns and you're not. No offense, Dad. He knows that, though. And he always liked watching war movies. I wasn't all that into it. I certainly watched my fair share of them. But this was a movie where, you know what, there's some good acting, some good killing, and some really big scenes that are sort of jaw-dropping, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
Well, and I just thought it was really well done. Stanley Kubrick, you know, he was always good for offbeat movies, and he had Kirk Douglas and Sir Laurence Olivier, and that's some pretty good actors right there.
Those are great reasons. I mean, you can't argue with any of those. These are really all over the board as far as the picks that we have from everybody else. Jason Jones votes for Transformers, as he said he would. These are all over the place here. So we've got... and a note also for the people out there. I'm going to interrupt myself on this. We got an IM from Paul Belfi here. This will be of note not only to our audience, but certainly also to Russ, who has Russellology under the Sportsology banner here. Sheldon Benjamin, you are a new United States champion tonight at the Great American Bash.
Oh, there you go.
So
good for him.
I should probably give that the bell. You know, look, if the company was going to do something just to avoid a lawsuit over Michael Hayes, couldn't they have given him the ECW title and not Mark Henry? Talk about not that distinguishing between guys. Jeez, at least give it to somebody with some talent.
Yeah.
But Jason Jones votes Transformers. Bob Glassman votes, this is apparently a split vote here, between The Godfather and Major League. Nathan Noy votes The Natural.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Mazur, unsurprisingly, votes for Blazing Saddles.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Samantha Jones votes for, collectively, the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy.
Oh, I'm going to vomit. Tell her no offense, but that I watched that once, the first one, on a plane. And again, I'm not big on puffy shirts. I'm not big on pirate movies. I've certainly watched a few. It was horrid. And I didn't watch anything beyond the first one, and I think Johnny Depp is brilliant, but I just couldn't get into it.
I watched the first one, Russ, and I tell you what, it's a point of discussion that I had with one of our dignitaries, Chris Galloway, and I even brought it up on the show another time just so that he could kind of goof on me and get a good laugh for the audience here. I still think I'm in the right on this one, though. I said to him, I said, I couldn't follow some of the twists and turns towards the end. Who was backstabbing, you know, who was really on whose side? And he's like, you know, my 5-year-old was able to follow that. What do you mean? I'm like, well, the young lady that I was with couldn't really follow it either, Chris, so I don't know what to tell you, you know. And he made me sound like I had, you know, the brain power of an infant when I told him I couldn't follow all the twists and turns. But were you able to follow all of that, Russ, the sort of gratuitous double turn, triple turn, quadruple turn stuff?
I don't know if that was a problem or not. I can't really remember. I kept falling asleep and waking up. I swear, I was coming back, I think, probably from a West Coast trip, and I was just having trouble staying focused on it, and it was... So I don't remember if that was one of the problems or not.
Okay. Yeah, that was what happened with me. Other notes here I got from Paul Belfi on the IM. In the dark match, Umaga beat Mr. Kennedy with the Samoan Spike. Also before the show, Mike Adamley and Michael Cole's entrances were booed by the fans. Hawkins and Ryder, your new WWE Tag Team Champions. So
that's terrible.
Yeah, that is horrible. I don't know where they're going with that. So Sam voted for Pirates collectively. Our friend, Steve, the FDH New York Bureau, votes for Rocky III. He's put down Rudy as a second-place vote for him.
Rudy's so much better. Rocky III, are you kidding me?
That was what he voted for. I'm just shocked Jason didn't have that. Jason's the biggest Rocky fanboy out there.
I could see one or two, but not three.
Chris Galloway votes for Citizen Kane. John Adams votes for The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, that's good.
And my brother, Mike Morris, voted for The Godfather, which combined with the split vote from Bob Glassman, Godfather and Major League, I think we've got to give it to The Godfather because it's the only one mentioned twice here. So,
can't argue. That's a good choice.
It's not a bad one here. So as I hoist the Dundee here, the next enshrining into the Pantheon is The Godfather. We move now to Best Thespian. And one of our dignitaries, Nate Noy, when I spoke with him last night, asked me if he could nominate Ellen DeGeneres for this. And I said, well, you didn't hear me correctly. Yes. So for me, and again, I'm strictly going by who entertains me. As far as who can do action, who can do, you know, comedy, who can do whatever. And I'm somebody who tends to prefer my entertainment a little bit more on the lighter side here. So this is going to be one of the ones that is not going to garner a lot of support, frankly. But I'm voting for Bruce Willis. All in all, I've enjoyed his stuff, TV and movies, more than anybody else. I used to like Moonlighting as a kid, like his movies. The cop movie that he did that was supposed to be shot in Pittsburgh. I forget the name of that one, but who's the best cop? That was a great one. And he was in the whole nine yards. So Bruce Willis has just been in a lot of stuff that I've liked. I'm putting him down for that. We've got another, what looks like a split vote here from you, Paul.
You can scratch the split vote, because I can't believe I did not vote for this guy right out of the gate. And ironically, yesterday I was watching the Biography Channel, and it had a biography on this thespian and all of the movies. I'm like, love that movie, love that movie, love that movie. And I can't believe I did not vote for Kevin Costner.
Okay.
Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, Tin Cup, The Postman, Dances with Wolves, Wyatt Earp, Waterworld. The list goes on and on.
Come on, dude.
I'm a big Kevin Costner fan, and I can't believe.
I like him too, but Waterworld?
I can't believe I was going to give it to that hack, Jack Nicholson, or that pseudo hack, Tom Hanks.
Wow. Well, a little bit of a change there. I will say, too, as long as you're talking Bull Durham, a couple other really good actors in that movie as well. Robert Wool, who is just really, again, just somebody who just flat out entertains me. And I'll tell you what, for somebody who I think on a personal level should be put in front of a firing squad, I can't believe I'm talking about how great of an actor he is, but Tim Robbins.
He's great.
Tim Robbins, yeah. I mean, that movie, Jacob's Ladder.
He's a mensch.
He is.
He is a mensch.
You know, for somebody who I'd like to see encased in a small bamboo cage at Guantanamo Bay, I have to admit, he is a hell of an actor. So, got to give it up to him. You went with, again, much more, Russ, of a classic type of actor here than the ones we've mentioned thus far.
I went with Sir Laurence Olivier, but again, he was in Spartacus. He was in Wuthering Heights from Alfred Hitchcock, which a lot of people have seen that. That's a pretty classic movie. Marathon Man. He was even in Clash of the Titans. You remember that one?
Yeah.
So he's got a lot. I think, again, versatility is something you talked about. He had versatility.
Well, I'm not sure I see him in a dumb cop buddy movie, but, you know, outside
All
of that.
All right. I mean, yeah, I don't know if he would have done that either, but I do think you could have placed him in almost any role.
Okay.
I do.
I'll give you that. I mean, I agree with that, definitely. Jason Jones going for somebody who is perceived to be sort of a modern actor's actor type in Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Glassman, and as I said previously, there are some votes tonight that were clearly just cast in jest, and I hope for the sake of Bob Glassman this one was. Cheech and Chong is his vote. As I get a blank stare on the other side of the glass from Paul Belfi.
Listen, Cheeks Stay Closed was a great line.
Nate Noy votes for Robin Williams. Tony Mazur votes for, and again, I'm not 100% sure if this was tongue-in-cheek or not. I will tell you this, though. The guy entertains the hell out of me, whether I'd call him best thespian or not. Jason Alexander. I mean,
yes.
Like him. Samantha Jones, our chief entertainment dignitary here in the lounge, she votes for Michael Caine.
Great actor.
My brother, Mike Morris, votes for Jimmy Stewart. Again, kind of going old school there.
Classic, yep.
John Adams votes for Al Pacino. Chris Galloway, many old school picks tonight. For best country, he had voted for Rome, the Republic Before the Empire. Teddy Roosevelt for best president, best U.S. president. His vote for the best thespian, the first ancient Greek to portray Oedipus. So... We can't even put a name to that, I guess. I'm not even sure whose descendants we would award this spot in the Pantheon. But by dint of the changed vote by Paul Belfi, the fact that it's not Jack Nicholson, the fact that it is not Tom Hanks, he voted for Kevin Costner, who was also voted for by Steve, the FDH New York Bureau. So we have a winner. Kevin Costner is our winner. Kevin Spacey was second on Steve's ballot. Kevin Spacey's a good actor also, definitely. Yeah,
he is.
We have yet to see one. I have to go to a tiebreaker here tonight. Four categories down, four clear-cut winners. Kevin Costner getting that second first-place vote, and that was all it took. Here's another one that's all over the spectrum. This one could well end up going to a tiebreaker here. Best female bombshell. And by the way, here as I belatedly hoist the Dundee for Kevin Costner. Best female bombshell. I'm going to go first with mine, and could have gone a couple different ways. Thought about going Kathy Ireland, being the child of the 80s that I am. Thought about going a couple of different directions. There's a million different ways you could go with this one here, but you know, at the risk of being too caught up in the moment, I'm going to say Erin Andrews. I just, you get accused me of being a guy who can't think beyond 5 minutes ago, but I don't know that anybody from yesteryear necessarily stands up. So Erin Andrews is going to be my pick. Paul Belfi's got one that's a little more conventional, more along the lines of a model type here. Paul going for Heidi Klum with his selection.
Very solid.
I just got a vulgar sign from him from across the glass here. All right, well, you know, we'll pass along your wishes to do that to Ms. Klum. I don't think Seal would appreciate you doing that very much.
No.
Is it Seal? I don't even know.
It is.
Okay. All right. So Heidi Klum is the pick. Yours, Russ. This is an interesting one here. Believe it or not, your selection actually went in our MILF draft last week at age 68.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah. But she's clearly still got a lot going for her. You, I'm sure, are casting this vote along the lines in terms of her heyday.
Yeah, of course, in her heyday. And again, if you pick someone maybe after Marilyn Monroe, Raquel Welch was somebody that you couldn't ignore, let's put it that way.
Yeah, Raquel Welch.
And she was big, bigger in life, and she looked really big when I was a kid, I'll tell you that.
Oh, exactly. And and darn funny on that Seinfeld episode.
Oh, yeah.
You got to love somebody who can laugh at themselves a little bit here.
Yeah, she's played quite a bit of stuff, and look, let's face it, she's not a great actress by any stretch, but she actually, like you said, learned how to deal with her fame and everything else and work it pretty well, actually.
Yeah, she really did. And speaking of our MILF draft or tonight's thing here, one wonders how many votes Helen Mirren might have gotten had the pictures come out a little bit sooner. Have you seen those by any chance, Russ?
No, I don't even know from what you speak.
There are, and it would take you like 2 seconds to find it on to Google's, but she apparently... there were pictures taken of her at the beach with her husband and rocking a red bikini at age 63, and it tends to make one wonder if there's any Photoshop involved. We've all been assured publicly, I guess, that's not the case by the British tabloids, but yeah, Helen Mirren at age 63, rocking it in an unlikely fashion. She did not get...
Oh, you know what? I'd say that's her.
It's I was more than a little surprised to see that.
And, no, you know what? I've seen some evidence in some of the stuff she wears where she might have that going on for herself. No, good for her.
Belfi sent me an email today with basically along the line, basically like a question like, would you? And like, after a few pints of lager, matey.
Sure, because you know, if nothing else, you'd start talking about movies and she'd get you that way.
Exactly. The other picks we had here were kind of all over the place. Jason Jones going for, I'm not sure anybody would have necessarily considered her a bombshell type, more I think along the lines of just being a solid actress, but Jason votes for Kate Beckinsale, so that's an interesting
one.
Paul's just shaking his head and laughing.
I like that pick. That's a good one.
It was outside the box, so to speak. I'm throwing it up for Paul to slam down by saying that. Bob Glassman goes for Sarah Michelle Gellar. Nate Noy goes for Phoebe Cates. That got the of approval from Belfi. Tony Mazur goes for a very conventional pick, Carmen Electra. Steve, the New York Bureau, talk about cliche picks, Pam Anderson.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeez.
I'm with you.
Yeah, nice pick, Steve.
Yeah. even without the, even without the hep, I don't find a whole lot to recommend her necessarily.
That's a Mark pick if I ever heard of it.
That is. And he had the first overall pick in the MILF draft last week and took her and compared it to taking LaDainian Tomlinson first. Like, are you kidding me? That's cliche.
That's a terrible pick.
Yeah. LT's not a cliche. Pam Anderson's a cliche.
Yeah, absolutely.
My brother Mike Morris goes for Christy Brinkley, specifically from the SI cover period here, the first
SI
cover.
Can't argue that.
You got to like that one. Chris Galloway, who's gone old school with all of his picks here tonight, continues along those lines with Marilyn Monroe.
Good pick.
And John Adams, truly predictable by him, because, I mean, this is a name that comes up.
Who's the guy that he picked?
John is our resident metrosexual around here, Russ, so he comes in for a fair bit of those type things from Belfie.
So, I feel like Brandon Routh and Superman.
You know what, though? From an old show, and he talks about her incessantly, not surprised he mentioned her on his ballot, Julie Newmar is his.
Okay.
He loves him some Julie Newmar.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that. However, as I look at this here,
better than Eartha Kitt, because after Julie Newmar left Batman, it was Eartha Kitt.
I agree. I agree with you completely on that one. we do have, as I look at this here, a second vote for one of our nominees here. Samantha Jones cast the second vote for, yes, Russ, Raquel Welch.
So, she redeemed herself. Good for her.
After you buried her for the Pirates of the Caribbean, she redeems herself with this one here. So we give the virtual Dundee here, awarded the female best female bombshell, Raquel Welch. I keep waiting for the one that's going to go to the tie. I have to go to the tiebreaker here.
Would you go to John Quincy Adams for the tiebreaker? Is that...
Believe it, John Quincy Adams was one of the U.S. presidents named, if you can believe that. But he shares a birthday with the gentleman who selected him, Bob Glassman. So it was, okay. I think, largely along those lines here. So we do have that was named as one of the ones here. And looking to see here the next category that we have up: best musical performer or group. And
by the way, this is much better than even thinking about watching the ESPYs. I am more entertained by this. Just to let you know.
Well, and you know what? And for as much or as little time as you have, Russ, stay on for as long as it works for you. And we're going to be joined here at a certain point by Jason and perhaps some of the other fellows tagging in and out. So this is going to just keep getting better and better here. This could be the first one, I think, to go to a tiebreaker. Best musical performer or group. I've been disenchanted with the last couple of albums, and I went on some particularly bitter and venomous rants on this show about their release last year and how much I'd like to run the CD over with my car. But based on the previous body of work, I've got to give it to Rush. I'm gonna go with this one here. And we had a little bit of love on some of the other ballots for Linkin Park here, and they're sort of my 1B, and I would say Stone Temple Pilots sort of 1C. But Linkin Park, by the way, looks like they're going to be in they may be in a tiebreaker here, and if that's the case, I'll probably be breaking it in their favor. But I'm going to go with Rush just based on respect for the overall body of work. Paul Belfie votes, of course, for Van Halen for his, although, quite frankly, it could have just as easily been for his favorite for individual performer, which would, of course, be Richard Marx, Rick Springfield. putting aside the love for Rick Springfield here, he votes for Van Halen. You had Russ, that was kind of interesting, sort of musical contemporaries of my pick.
Yeah, you know what? I voted for Yes. I've been a fan forever. I've met members of the band before. I've liked them since junior high school. My brother got me into them, and they're one of the rare bands that actually still makes new music regularly, not just like once every 20 years. So I think they always change with the times, and you know what? They're very good musically, and some people will say they don't like John Anderson because his voice is too high-pitched, but he still has the same voice. He's actually been able to keep his voice over the years, which many other performers from his era haven't been able to do.
That's true. I don't like John Anderson because he's too high-pitched. Sincerely, Geddy Lee. So, as we look at some of the other votes cast here, Jason Jones casts a vote for Linkin Park.
And I saw Linkin Park at Live 8.
Oh, did
and
you?
That was the first time I had ever seen them. I had heard a few songs, and they were very good.
Oh, that's awesome. I would have loved to have be able to caught them there. They did a long set with Jay-Z, did they not?
Yeah, but okay. Jay-Z was terrible. Linkin Park just took that away. I mean, Jay-Z's nothing. Sorry.
I like a lot of their mashup stuff. I really kind of do. I like that. This is, by the way, I got to stop myself here on the musical ones here. I think this is our favorite caller, Andy in Toledo here. This is outstanding. Andy in particular loves our political segments that we do on the show here, and a lot of times debating with myself and to a certain extent some of the other fellows, but it always kind of tends to come down to me and Andy to a certain extent. He says, "Hi, Rick. I did not realize that tonight's show consists of a tongue-in-cheek episode of the FDH Lounge. You guys cannot be serious. You guys must be historically challenged. No one voted for Abe Lincoln, the man whom historians consistently named as top president. Ronald Reagan gave us high interest rates, massive deficits. He dealt with terrorists, the Contras in Central America." Well, I would say the Contras thing is a high part, Andy. To me, that's a plus. "Sold arms to the Iranians and could have easily been impeached. Plus, by any objective criteria, the man suffered from dementia during his last term. This love for Reagan cannot be based on any objective evidence. Andrew Jackson's actions against the southeastern natives of this country would get him deemed as a criminal for crimes against humanity. He was also a slave owner and big-time white supremacist. He must have forgot the black men who fought with him during the Battle of New Orleans." Have a good show, Andy. So, the slave owner thing I'm gonna have to look into. I would change my vote as the runner up pick if that were true. I did not believe that was the case, but good stuff as always from Andy.
Very good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Andy knows his stuff. I mean, whenever he's calling us on stuff, he always knows his stuff. You got to appreciate that. So Linkin Park got the vote from Jason. Bob Glassman votes for the Eagles. They would probably be somewhere on my top 10. I mean,
they're good. Yeah,
I like the Eagles a lot. Nate Noy votes for and talk about the can you be serious pick. Nate Noy votes for Bon Jovi.
That's all right. You know what? Here's the thing. I'm going to clear up something about Bon Jovi.
Okay.
When I was a teenager, I didn't like him. I thought he was like part of the hair band thing. I thought he was too poppy, too this, too that. And a lot of people still think that, but if you've seen him in the last 10 years or you see him now, he's gotten more into the rock genre. Yes, I know he did a country album, this last one, but when you see him in concert, he's basically a rock act now and nothing like the pop bands that you see now. And again, thankfully, I haven't heard Coldplay yet because then I might hang up.
You're not going to hear that. Nobody voted for Coldplay. I would have to ban the vote if it did come in. We do have one woman voting, but all the guys are hetero. So if the woman didn't vote for Coldplay, the guys weren't going to. Tony Mazur, being 20 years old, I mean, I got, you know, product of his time, not completely surprised by this one. He votes for Nirvana.
That's fine.
Samantha Jones votes for Linkin Park. There's the second vote for Linkin Park. But Steve, the FDH New York Bureau, votes for Bon Jovi. So we're in a deadlock there thus far, moving through with Nirvana and Linkin Park. My brother Mike Morris votes for the Foo Fighters. I like them. I don't know about greatest ever, but he was such a Billy Joel freak growing up. I'm surprised. But you know what? He probably felt, you know, probably divided loyalties, Russ. You know, he voted for Christie Brinkley, so can he vote for Billy Joel if he's going
to
do that?
But I'll tell you what. He should go to my site. He should go to sportsology.info or baseballology and read about the review for Billy Joel's last concert at Shea with Roger Daltrey, with Paul McCartney, with Steven Tyler, and he might change his mind.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to suggest to him that he does that. Chris Galloway, who, as I say, went old school on all of his picks, Chris Galloway votes for Beethoven. So that's kind of interesting.
That's really old school.
It doesn't get much more old school than that. John Adams votes for Queen, and I can tell Paul Pelfi's probably got a joke he'd like to make about that. But
I'm thinking of a few.
Yeah. All right, so we are at our first impasse of the evening here, gentlemen. We have two votes for Linkin Park. We have two votes for Bon Jovi. I already said Bon Jovi was my 1B. So, or Freudian slip. Linkin Park was my 1B. I pretty much loathe Bon Jovi. Although, I respect your opinion, Russ. I will try to give it another listen here. I'm voting for Linkin Park on that. Paul, between Linkin Park and Bon Jovi, which way do you go?
Bon Jovi. I cannot stand Linkin
Park. What?
I cannot stand them.
Oh!
No, I effing
Linkin Park
hate,
rules.
Yeah.
Oh! Hybrid Theory is the greatest
they
rule album
so
of all time.
Much featured. Never mind.
Hybrid Theory is the single greatest album of all time. All right. Well, Russ, you hold all the power here, my man. There's three dignitaries voting live here. Who does your second place ballot go to?
Well, it's hard to believe that I've seen them two or three times, and I'm going to go with Bon Jovi. They do rock.
I got to put a disclaimer when I post the results here that I did not personally vote for Bon Jovi and never would. But Bon Jovi by 2.5 votes or whatever you want to call it here, it was the second place votes that did it here. And as I reluctantly hoist the Dundee in the air, Bon Jovi is voted for best musical performer or group. All right, best TV show. Just by dint of hoisting the Dundees here tonight, you can tell which way I'm going to go. For me, my vote goes to The Office, and it's not the only one out of the bunch here. I am voting for that. Again, much like Aaron Andrews, I may get criticized for, being one of these people who thinks that something like Right Now is the greatest thing ever, but... I voted for Calvin Coolidge over Ronald Reagan, so I don't know how much people can throw that at me. So.
It's a today pick, but that's all right. It's a good show. I've never gotten into it, but I know people who love it.
I could recite probably most lines from like every show that's ever been on. I'm pretty much like almost obsessive about it. I love it to death. I know Paul Belfi likes it as well.
It's fair. It's fair.
Now, Paul, you went a little more old school with your picks here. You split your ballot.
I genuinely could not decide between these two shows because both brought so much to the table, and I'm curious to hear what Russ has to say. Russ, I had a split vote between MASH and All in the Family.
Oh, that's I've watched every episode of both of those shows, classics from my childhood. If I had to pick out of those two, I probably would still go All in the Family, just because if that show ran today, people would be writing in. It wouldn't even last a season.
Al Sharpton
would,
be protesting All in the Family.
Absolutely, yeah.
It definitely would. Well, here's the thing. That split vote there, I will tell you this, though. If you can't choose between them, neither one's going to win. I'll just...
Oh.
Because I'll tell you, there's already two votes for one of these other shows here, and I can't tell you which of the two has the other vote here, because that would be influencing the balloting.
Well then, if I've got a pick between the two, if a gun is to my head, I'm going to have to say All in the Family, because that show was probably one of the most groundbreaking shows in the history of television.
Okay. Genius. It was genius.
All in the Family ends up getting a second vote here. You ended up voting for neither of these ones, but you also went old school with yours, Russ.
Yeah, I went with The Odd Couple. I mean, again, if you want to talk about just great writing, great acting, it's a total classic show. I mean, Neil Simon on TV, when was that ever going to happen again? That's all I have to say. It's just hilarious.
That's a really good show. I've enjoyed watching it in reruns. Jason
mm-hmm.
Jones? I'm sorry, what did you say, Russ?
No, I just said, yeah, I can see why.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's enjoyable. Jason Jones... goes for one every bit as current as mine. Jason goes for Heroes, which I didn't even know he was huge into that. But I would have thought if he was going to go for a present one, it would have been Numbers. I know he's getting to be huge into that. But Heroes is his selection. Bob Glassman splits his ballot, old school and new school here. He splits his ballot between Curb Your Enthusiasm and the Three Stooges. So that's...
Odd picking there.
That's an eclectic combination, is it not, Russ?
Yeah. I there's so many people that have told me, Russ, you would love Curb Your Enthusiasm if you loved Seinfeld. I didn't. I just didn't. And then the Three Stooges, I don't see where he would be torn between those two. And again, Three Stooges, great show. I'm not sure you would put it in this genre, though, because I don't think anybody looks at it that way.
See, I loved Curb Your Enthusiasm. I've only seen season one. I've got it on DVD, but I've described it to people as sort of like Seinfeld methadone. You know, I mean, they're never going to make any new Seinfeld stuff, but it could kind of, you know, you get a, to me anyways. I got enough of that Seinfeld vibe coming through here in terms of the type of humor. But I know not everybody sees it that way, Russ. I've had people say to me, nope, doesn't do anything for me. So.
Yeah, that's the way I felt.
It's, you know, I mean, there's frankly probably more people that have said that to me than agree with me. But I also know some people that are pretty hardcore in terms of liking it a lot. I believe my FDH colleague and our old colleague from here, Paul Teeple, I think he was pretty big into Curb Your Enthusiasm. Nate Noy said that to him, that just maybe probably the greatest show ever in terms of how it was executed and in terms of being a great product of its time. Nate cast a vote for St. Elsewhere. So
that's a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, being a child of the 80s, much like myself, I mean, I'll be honest with you, that's another one where I never really got into it, but I could from the snippets I saw, I could see where somebody that's an enthusiast would vote that way.
I could too, and Ed Begley was on that, right? Ed Begley Jr.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. Yep. I liked it.
That was one of his first prominent roles, if not his first. I don't know exactly, but yeah, I mean that was towards the beginning of when he became to be a known commodity by the public. Tony Mazur votes for Family Guy.
I've recently gotten into that, so I like the pick.
That's a thing where. I don't watch the show, but I know a lot of people who do. Steve, the New York Bureau votes for Cheers with What's Happening as a second place vote there. I'll tell you what, to me, Cheers, I loved Cheers at the time. Never missed it, blah, blah, blah. I got to be honest with you. It's something where I watch it now. To me, it doesn't age well. It's like,
no, it doesn't age well, and Cheers, when they lost Shelley Long, really did lose something off the fastball. There's just no denying that.
I think so. I mean, you as much as they feverishly tried to replicate it with other factors, they couldn't. I mean, I watch it now. It's like, oh, this is the one where everybody says, hey, Norm. Oh, this is the one where, Cliff gets drunk. This is the one where Woody says something stupid. You know, it's like, how did I watch that week after week after week?
You know, it's interesting that Russ said when Shelley Long left Cheers, the show changed and wasn't as good. You could say that about a lot of shows. When Suzanne Summers left Three's Company, when Wayne Rogers left MASH and there's no more Trapper John, when Rob Reiner and Sally Struthers left All in the Family. I mean, that can be said about a great many shows.
That's true. And actually, I think when those two left All in the Family, it became All in the Family Place, and it was terrible.
All of these shows, I think, really kind of suffered with some of these different factors here. We have an email that came in from Zanzibar here, one of our listeners with some selections here, and we have a note from Jason Jones. I guess we're supposed to call him on his cell now, and he will join us. So apparently, he said he was calling and wasn't getting a pickup here. Zanzibar's selections thus far: Harry Truman for best president, best country outside the U.S., United Kingdom. That wouldn't have been enough. Although that's a second vote here. Best motion picture, Animal House. Best thespian, John Wayne. Best bombshell, Bo Derek. Best music, you know what? He split these votes up into two. There was nothing for best. He thought there was one for best musical when it said best musical performer or group. So for best musical, he put Rocky Horror Picture Show. For performer or group, he put U2. I guess it didn't come out right on the form I sent. For best TV show, he said Brady Bunch. I don't know if that's facetious or not. The other votes that we have here, my brother Mike Morris votes for Ninja Warrior G4. Not really conversant with that personally.
Me neither.
John Adams votes for Happy Days.
Good show.
Chris Galloway votes for All in the Family. So there's the second vote. Samantha Jones votes for The Office. So there's the second vote for that. And so let's, I tell you what, since we're going to be doing the tiebreakers here, hopefully this is one where we can get Jason on with us here. And this because I certainly know how he's going to cast his vote, and it would he'll be casting his vote the right way is all I can say. So I am feverishly. I don't think it's transgressing in any way to text him to do that, but also providing the number here to Belfi, so one way or another we get him on for the tiebreaker, because we're heading for one at this point. And so we will give him a second here to get on with us here. As we said, there were two votes cast for the office and two votes cast for All in the Family. At this point, other votes cast in this category: Heroes, The Odd Couple, Curb Your Enthusiasm / Three Stooges, St. Elsewhere, Family Guy, Cheers, Ninja Warrior G4, and Happy Days. So
I think you should remove Ninja Warrior G4, because I don't think anybody's ever heard of that.
I you know, that's a weird thing, because I got the email ballot back from my brother and didn't get a chance to ask him about that. I will have to ask him. It's pricked my curiosity, and it's nothing I've even ever heard him mention before. We now have, I believe, Jason on line two. All right, Jason, welcome to the program, my man.
How's it going?
Going fine. You're here just in time to break a tie that we have. We're now, the four of us now, we've got Russ Cohen on line one with us here, and Paul Belfi and myself. We're going to be going through here. There were two votes cast for The Office and two votes cast for All in the Family. Now, I cannot cast another vote for The Office, because this is second ballots here, essentially. The Office was voted for, of course, by Samantha and myself. All in the Family was voted for by Paul Belfi and Chris Galloway. So you get to cast a vote between the two of them there. It'll come down to you and Russ, Jason, and if you guys don't agree, then I guess we have to figure out what the third tiebreaker is. But I think I know which way you're going to go between The Office and All in the Family.
Yeah, I guess if I got to choose between those two, it's not even close.
Well,
I have my own personal favorite show, which I'm sure didn't get a lot of love, but and All in the Family just doesn't impress me. However, I am never let down by The Office, so we're going to go to The Office.
Okay. Ross, you can either break the impasse or continue it here. I think you're probably going to continue it.
Yeah, I have to continue it. I mean, how could you dismiss All in the Family and say it hasn't impressed you? Come on, dude.
Wow. Well, this is one where I think we have to revisit this.
We have a tie-breaking vote on email for the TV show.
We do.
Sent by our friend Andy. He wanted to follow up on Andrew Jackson, and
okay,
then he gave a PS with the vote. We have our tie-break in the email.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, this the email has yet to get through. So, I mean, hopefully it'll be just another
Well,
second.
Allow me to read it then.
Yeah, go ahead.
As I watch the WWE pay-per-view on my laptop, courtesy of WWE.com.
Nice.
Hi, Rick. Here is some information on Andrew Jackson owning slaves. Blah, 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 blah. P.S. I agree on Paul's statement about All in the Family. Thank you, Andy.
All right. You know what? That's how we got to roll. And it's my own big mouth in the first place here, because, again, I told Bill, if you picked between All in the Family and MASH, who we had down as co-number one picks here, that it would allow one of those two to survive. He guessed correctly that All in the Family was the one that had the other vote out there, and it worked. So All in the Family, based on the tiebreaker with Andy. So
just so you guys know, number one show from 71 to 76. That's pretty good.
Well, nobody can accuse us of not going old school on at least a couple of these ones here. So we will do another one here probably before we take our first break. This is for the best TV or movie cartoon character, and I voted for Jerry from Tom and Jerry. That was my personal pick. So, what can I say? I always loved that show as a kid. I see, and Belfi on the other side of the glass. What? Is there something wrong with that pick? Is that?
Was it his lines? Did you like his lines?
Yeah. I was just being amused there, Russ, by Belfi about falling out of his chair laughing. There was another vote here, I will point out. John Adams voted for Tom and Jerry collectively, but this still isn't going to be enough to win. We've got a landslide between all of the ones here with the different picks here. There's a landslide winner. Paul Belfi cast a vote for Bugs Bunny. Jason, your vote was a little more eclectic than some of the others, perhaps.
Yeah, mine is, I guess, generationally focused. I could have gone Bugs Bunny or Elmer Fudd or Road Runner if I wanted to be so, this is going to sound mean, but lazy. But I went with the main character and leader of the Thundercats, Lion-O.
Okay. First vote for Lion-O here. Russ, you went for one. This is not too big of a spoiler to say this, but a very popular one on your end.
Yeah, I mean, I went for Superman. It was old school. I remember watching the old black and white series on TV and reruns and loved the first one. You know, the Christopher Reeve first one was great.
You know what? I could be dishonest here and say that I'm going to wait, and that since I had not hoisted the Dundee for All in the Family, which I will do right now, I could reopen the voting here because Chad from Akron said he would take The Office. So technically that would make it 3-3. Yeah, we have moved on to the next segment here. And Don from Amsterdam, New York, excellent. One of the message board peeps here, wrestling message board, and I believe emailer also on Tuesday nights here to Pro Wrestling Insider. He says, Bugs Bunny is the best character in my mind that has hit the television screen. And you know what? A lot of Bugs Bunny here, fellas. Bugs Bunny named by two of you guys thus far. Bob Glassman votes for Boris Badenoff. Nate Noy votes for the Smurfette. Tony Mazur votes for Bugs Bunny. Samantha Jones votes for Toki Wartooth.
Who's that?
I don't even know.
Do you need an explanation on Toki Wartooth?
Yeah. What does the missus have to say for that one?
Well, there's a not-so-widely known cartoon show that currently airs on Cartoon Network called Metalocalypse.
Okay.
Which is sort of a parody on the excessively metal rock bands.
Okay.
And I believe he is I want to say he's the bassist. Yeah, I think he's the bassist in the band. He's from Sweden and he talks funny. I think she just likes the fact that he speaks in plural, whether it necessitates it or not.
Okay. Steve, the New York Bureau, casts a vote for Charlie Brown with Gossamer as his second place vote. My brother, Mike Morris, this is a good one here. If I'd have thought of this one, I might have reconsidered. My brother votes for Krusty the Clown. That's a quality
That's
vote.
That's a good one.
Chris Galloway votes for Bugs Bunny. John Adams votes for collectively Tom and Jerry. But yeah, Bugs Bunny wins this one in a landslide. So it's not even close. So Bugs Bunny is inducted into the Pantheon here. Before we take our first break here, two quick notes here. Chris Jericho, who is apparently sporting a beard tonight, Paul Belfi has advised me, defeats HBK at the Great American Bash. Ref stops the match from excessive bleeding and punishment to the head. So apparently they've decided to recycle the old Matt Hardy finish for Shawn Michaels here tonight. Before we go to break, just a quick recap on our winners thus far. The greatest U.S. president, Ronald Reagan. Best country other than the United States, Canada. Best motion picture. This one was very close, but ultimately it goes to The Godfather. Best thespian ended up being captured by Kevin Costner. Best female bombshell, Raquel Welch. Best musical performer or group, Bon Jovi. Jason, we really needed you before. Bon Jovi defeated Linkin Park in a tiebreaker.
What?
Over my objections, yeah. Well, you know what?
They were
your first place vote, so you couldn't have broken the tie anyways. But best TV show, All in the Family. Best TV or movie cartoon character, Bugs Bunny. Yeah, the Bon Jovi thing I thought was in particular a real outrage, Jason. And isn't it funny that in an FDH-sponsored contest here, the two principals of FDH end up, you know, pretty much loathing the musical group that ends up winning here? You know, we're not going to be standing behind that on a corporate level, Jason.
Well, no. You know, and even if you qualified best musical group and gave it an era, I wouldn't have gone for John Bon Jovi if it fit. I'm just going to say this now, and I'm probably going to get ridiculed for it, but the results so far are so very excessively biased based on the ages of those participating, excluding myself. There's a very, you know, 70s, 80s vibe going on right now.